Welcome to For the Health of It, an intimate look at public health in Cowley County, Kansas. Join us as we discuss topics that are impacting public health in our community and learn about what we do at your local health department. Welcome once again, everybody, to another edition of For the Health of It, Cowley County. This is Tom Langer, the Cowley County Public Health Officer and Health Department Administrator. And today we are joined once more by Allie Payne, who is my epidemiologist and right-hand person. And today's topic is going to be, what did we say?
Listener's choice.
Listener's choice, that's right. One of the things we've asked our listeners to do is provide us some feedback on some of the topics that they would like to know more about or hear. And oddly enough, the things that have come through are that they want Allie to go ahead and kind of take over the role of being the interviewer and ask me specific questions about public health or my role at the health department or wherever this conversation will take us. So today's conversation is going to be a little bit more free-flowing and a little less structured, but hopefully we'll be able to answer some of the questions that you may have had about what we do at the health department, why we do it a certain way, and what my role is as both administrator and public health officer. So with that being said, Allie, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay, awesome. Let's get this thing kicked off the right way. So he did tell you a little bit about the feedback that we received, and that feedback actually said to do a reverse episode where Allie interviews Tom about the stuff that he knows. He said that he's been in the healthcare field for 18 years, and so we're going to go ahead and do that.
Okay.
All right. So I think the first thing that everybody should know about you is a little bit about your background, your schooling, kind of how you got into public health initially, mm-hmm. anything along those lines.
Let's take it all the way back because originally, you know, I'm a native Kansan. I was born in Lawrence, 1959. I'm 64, going to be 65 in January. So I've got a few miles on the old body now. and my path to public health was really just quite interesting. I have spent a lot of time in my life in varied businesses and in the private sector and now in the public sector for 18 years. Initially, after I got out of school, I was one of those kids that back in the 70s, hey, we went to work right out of high school, and that's what I did. Worked for a lot of different organizations, found my way into banking and finance, and I spent about 9 to 10 years in that role. And I learned a great deal about business and accounting and all of the way a business has to be structured and run. And that was very beneficial in my career path. From there, I moved back into a family business, and we ran that for 15 years. So, you know, I'm there at that point now, 25 years worth of time that I had spent working in a small family-owned business. But around the turn of the century, around 2000, things change, as they always do in any type of organization, and I found myself looking at a different career path, and I went back to school and finished up both undergraduate and postgraduate degree work, and my major was in public administration. When I lived in the city of Topeka, of course, that's the seat of state government, and I took an internship. I was like the oldest intern in the history of the Kansas Department of Health and Environment, but I took an internship with them and very quickly found my niche in the public health role. I started in consumer health, which was basically everything that had to do with food and illnesses that are connected to environmental issues. I was the head of the Kansas CLIP, the Child Poisoning Prevention Program, and I was there for probably about 6 years doing that. And then I finished up my time as a high-level manager with the agency. I was actually the director of the Bureau of Environmental Health, so I was responsible, along with 40 other employees, for all of the environmental control issues that affected all of the counties and all of the people in Kansas. That took me up through the second term of the Brownback administration, and there were lots of restructuring issues that took place with that. And an opportunity opened up in Cowley County back in, gosh, what was it, 2015 now. And here we are, 2023, getting close to 24. And I have been in Cowley County for the last 8 years, you know, starting my ninth season now as the public health administrator and the public health officer with the health department. So that gives everybody kind of a little bit of a background and where it comes from. So I'm telling you, when you spend 18 years in public health, you learn quite a little bit and you see a lot. I've responded to things like natural disasters of a major scale, places like Greensburg and lots of the big floods that we've had and other tornadoes in the state. So that was quite sobering, and it really schooled me a lot in the ways of preparedness and the things that we talk about. Brought all of that information and education and those connections to Cowley County to put it to work for the people here in our community.
Yeah, awesome. So as you said, your experience in public health is very great, and you have a few miles on you. So that's awesome to share that with our listeners. But the term that I kept hearing when you were telling us about your history was public health, public health, public health. One of the questions we also had from listeners was to really define what that is and to say what it is, because I think a lot of people's views that they have of public health are very clouded. They're not exactly what those of us who work in the field think that the field is about. So why don't you go ahead and tell us what you think public health is and why it's important to you?
Well, to understand public health or community health, you have to take a step back and really look at the entire health network or the health system that we have in the United States. Most of that is based specifically on individual care. When you think about a health system or a health network, you think about your physician, you think about the going to the doctor's office or to a clinic or to a hospital where they treat a specific illness or a problem that you have. Public health is different. We look at the entire society. We look at the conditions that we all live in. And then we take a really proactive look and say, what can we do to make sure that we do not have to engage as much in the acute care system? In other words, it's about prevention. It's about understanding how to take care of ourselves, how to stay well and not become ill in the first place, to do the things that we know are proven to help us live healthier, happier, and longer lives. And then how do we make that available to everybody, regardless of their station in life? I guess that's it. You know, from the very young to the very old, from the rich to the poor, to the people that, you know, have lived in the United States all of their lives, and even those that have just arrived in the, say, the last, you know, few months. Everybody is interconnected, and our role in public health, in my vision as far as what is public health, it is that network of organizations and people that do the work to make sure we stay healthy, or, you know, that we can find ways to prevent illness and emergencies and disasters and all of that. And that's exactly what you hear us talk about every single time when we describe what we do at the health department. So I hope that kind of explains it. I can go into greater detail, you know, or little specific things if you want. So
public health is often associated with prevention, like you said, but how can public health help individuals once they have become ill in some fashion?
Well, you know, a lot of times people will take ill, and I'll look, Allie, back at the most recent big thing that we went through in public health, and that is the pandemic. And some people think that, you know, we still have it going on, and I would probably be saying, you know, yeah, COVID came, all of a sudden one day it was proclaimed to be this great emergency, and then all of a sudden another day somebody stood up and said it's no longer an emergency, but I still see people getting sick. You know, it's not gone, it's still here. It's an illness now that's going to be around forever that we're going to have to be, you know, continually looking for and monitoring and testing. And I think that's what most people probably came to realize more so than anything during the pandemic, was how we could interact with them so that if they weren't feeling well, they could come get a diagnostic test. We could find out yes or no if they were infected, and then we could go ahead and guide them on the best methodology to get well. A lot of times I think that's what it is. There are a lot of illnesses that we deal with that most people don't think about, you know, and they're tied to specific conditions. Diabetes is a big one, you know, heart disease, those things. They're all tied to our own health conditions, things that we may do to ourselves. We may overeat, we don't exercise, we smoke, we drink to excess, things like that, that they will affect our bodies and they can make us, you know, more likely to become ill. So public health has a big role there, and the people at the health department, you know, we take that very seriously. We want to make sure that we interact with you, we understand what your situation is, what your conditions may be, and then help you plan how to live a healthy life or how to get better after you've seen maybe a physician who has diagnosed you as being diabetic. Well, how do you deal with that? How do you change your lifestyle in such a way that you can start eating healthier without feeling like it's hopeless, and then get you back on the right path to wellness and to being healthy? I think that's pretty much how we interact with it. We are there all the time, every single day. And I don't know that people really understand that. They take us for granted. And that's something I think that they might be able to appreciate. They never knew what we did. They knew the buildings were around. They heard us talk a little bit. But I don't think folks really had an understanding of how entailed our jobs are in making sure that the population, all of them, stay well. Because if we get one person sick, it can spread so rapidly. And so we want to make sure we stay on top of that.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear, actually. So initially you said public health was concerned about the community, and now you're saying that we're concerned about one because we're concerned about many. But when you describe public health and talk about the ways that the health department and the way that the field intervenes and helps families and individuals when there is some kind of adversity or something that's not working in their favor, that it's still very individualized and supportive. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there are a lot of things that we do. We talk about being involved in individuals' lives from birth, you know, from cradle to grave is the way we put it. But it's the truth. I mean, it's a continuum of care. It's a lifetime of healthy habits. And it's also a lifetime of taking advantage of what medical science has now provided to us. I think back in my own lifetime of all of the childhood illnesses and everything that I had to live through, and I was fortunate enough to come through those, you know, the being ill and the suffering that you have to go through. Parents today don't understand what it was like to have a child get whooping cough or the measles, because we've almost eradicated that in society based upon medical science, you know, and that is, you know, I don't want to say it. It's that nasty word. It's, oh my gosh, a vaccination. It's the fact that we have medical science that can take those things away from us and eliminate them. But if you don't experience those sometimes, I don't know that you really truly appreciate the magnitude of what medical science has been able to accomplish. And one of the things I am outside of the health department is I'm kind of a history buff. I love the state of Kansas. I mean this is home. Everything about it, from, you know, all from the high plains, the farmlands, to the wooded areas, to the Flint. I mean, it is a beautiful and diverse state, but the people that live here have had such a rich history. And what most people don't realize is that public health had a lot of its origins right here in the state of Kansas, you know, with Dr. Samuel Krumbine, who was a frontier doctor out in the Dodge City area, and how he went around and he started seeing the ways that people were getting sick before we had all of the technology that we do today. And he started taking steps and preaching the practice of prevention and how it made such a massive impact on individual and public health, in other words, community health. I mean, because we all are part of a community. And so to me, that's really, really, truly important. And it never gets lost. And when I look back, as my career will end, I will think about how did my career follow a similar path to like what Sam Krumbines did? Did I have to fight some of the battles that he did? And you know what? And it's really amazing that you do. If you are really engaged with this and you really are committed to it, you do find that you face some of the same challenges. It just may be a couple hundred years apart.
Yeah, that's really interesting. When you're talking about vaccines, that I can really understand what you're saying because, you know, I'm in my mid-20s and I didn't see any of those illnesses really being an issue because fortunately all of our parents had us vaccinated. So now when there are families and there are parents that are my age, there are a lot more of them that I've noticed that are electing to not vaccinate their children. So I think you're right on the money with saying that if they didn't see those things, their perceptions aren't maybe, they maybe don't align with the true severity of what's going on. So that part's unfortunate. And then hearing you say that some of these challenges are the same as what they were, you know, decades, even centuries ago, I feel like almost that can kind of be disheartening.
I think it's human nature. People want to have choice. They want to be in control of their lives. And I am no different. But I'm also blessed enough to understand that the advances we've made over time in disease prevention has been astounding. Now, I'm not a big pharma guy, and I think anybody that knows me personally will understand that. And that may sound a little odd because one of the things that we do a lot of through our health department is provide vaccinations. When COVID first came along, the talk was, oh, we're going to have a vaccine available, you know, at warp speed, and it's going to be out within 6 months. And I was one of the first ones to say, that is impossible. It cannot happen. It can't be done that way. You cannot rush something that way to market. But once we saw what was coming out and we realized after reading the studies and looking at the information that was provided to us, how much time had already been spent on looking at a vaccine for SARS, it was easy to see, okay, yeah, I can see how this could work and how this could happen. And I'm not going to sit there and whitewash anything. I'm not going to say that I didn't feel like I was lied to as a public health officer. I did. You know, I still have concerns. But I also will tell people one thing. I never, ever for one moment lost the focus on what my responsibility was to the community, and that was to protect them, and that was to provide them with everything that I knew so that they could make the right decision for themselves. And therein is the difference. I'm not going to tell you roll up your sleeve and take something that I wouldn't take myself. And that, I think, stands as an example for everybody. We've got new vaccines we've talked about, you know, for RSV coming and all of that. And I have been really kind of concerned. I said, I don't know. How will the public take these? I mean, how will they take this news? Will they understand that this has been in development for 10 years? That this has been something that, had COVID not occurred, probably would have arrived a couple of years ago already because it was that far along. And that what we have learned through the pandemic is that we do a lot better job now of testing people, of being able to do some diagnostic work and identifying what they are ill with. And we saw a lot of folks in our county, especially those that are over age 60, that came down with RSV. We cut an ad not too long ago, and you know we were talking about it. Now help me out because I always tear this up. Respiratory?
Sensational
virus, right?
Yes.
RSV.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to say, easy to catch. I think that's going to be a new slogan we're going to put on a t-shirt. You know, and it's really one of those things that when I take a look at this specific vaccine now and how it was developed, and what it is going to do, and people need to understand, this is not going to protect you from getting it. because you get it like you would a common cold. It is easy to catch. But the problem is once you get that and it infects you and it gets down into the lower part of your lungs, that lower respiratory system, that is where it does its damage. That is where it will kill you. I mean, when you put all that fluid in those lungs and you get pneumonia and it overloads your system, it makes any kind of problem you have, if you have a heart issue or anything else, it just makes it that much worse. And so if we can get something that will keep that from happening, keep that lower respiratory infection from occurring, then we won't see that number of cases of pneumonia. We won't see those big infections that get into your, get into the lining of your lungs and get around your heart and cause you those kinds of problems that could put you in the hospital and could end your life. And to me, now that I'm, 60 plus years old, again, I'm rolling up the sleeve and I'm taking this one simply because I know that it's going to be beneficial to my health and it's not going to cause me problems in the long term.
Okay. I hear you. Okay. So one of the things that I heard quite a bit throughout the pandemic actually was, I'm young and I'm healthy. This isn't really going to do anything to me. Why do I care? I'm not old. I'm not young. So you're talking about, I'm old, I'm going to roll up my sleeve, but RSV, I'm probably going to do okay if I get it, hopefully.
RSV, yeah. I mean, I think that's it. I think everybody needs to understand where they are physically. We're all different. And for the most part, if you are a young adult, if I was still in my 30s and 40s, I wouldn't worry about it, because if I caught a cold, I could probably shake it off pretty easy. But I'm going to tell you a secret, and if you haven't figured this out yet, you will, and you may not believe me. It takes me longer now to recover from simple things like a muscle strain or an ache or a pain than it ever has in life, and I don't like it. I do not like what aging does to my body. I was always active. I was always doing things. I would get a strain or a pain and it would pass, really quickly. Not anymore. It's telling me, hey, kiddo, you're not 18 anymore. You might think you still are a young man in that head of yours, but your body, like I say, it's got a few miles on it. People take the opportunity to learn about these things, regardless of your age. If you are young, if you are in good shape, that doesn't mean you cannot get sick. You can, but be educated on this. Educate yourself to learn what you need to do to make sure that you can stay fit and you can stay healthy. Drinking enough water, taking a multivitamin, doing whatever it might take, getting the right kind of exercise, getting the right amount of sleep, on a day-to-day basis to protect yourself. Because if you can protect yourself, you're going to make the community healthier. And then if something does come along, you're probably not going to be as prone to catching it as you would be if you were out of shape, if you were overweight, if you were not healthy. And, we talk so much, Allie, about the simple things that people can do. And it just slays me that, and I'm just as bad, and I was this way as a young man. I would get sick, and I would think nothing of it. I'm fine, and I would trudge on. I have to be at work. I've got to be there. People depend upon me. That was hardwired into me. And what did I do? I would take my sick back end into the office or someplace, or into the business, and I would be a coughing and hacking. And before long, by the end of the week, two or three other people were doing it. And I gave them that gift, and that was wrong of me. That was selfish on my part. And I wish people would understand that. It's not wrong that when you feel bad or when you're ill, that you take a little bit of time to rest and to heal up before you go on with life, because you can keep others from getting sick. And I think that's the greatest expression of kindness and caring that you can do, is making sure you don't make somebody else sick.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I'm hearing you explain that, and I'm thinking about, locally, public health and the community, I'm thinking that maybe, your age cohort might be going to the hospital and struggling with it more, and mine might not be. But if I need to go to the hospital for anything else, I could really be in trouble if capacity's met. Would you say that's a thing?
Absolutely. I mean, if the hospital is full because all of us 60 somethings are in there because we got sick and now we're tying up all the hospital bits, and you're in an automobile accident or you have some kind of an issue that, you know, if that's an emergency thing and there is no room for you, then you're going to get caught up in that numbers game. They're not going to wheel me out to the parking lot. They're basically going to say, no, we can't accept you as a patient right now. And they're going to ship you off to another place. You're going to go to Ponca. You're going to go to Wichita or, you know, wherever it might be. And that's the sad reality. One of the things that has been a concern of mine in the county, you know, is the lack of hospital capacity. And I worry about that. I know that, you know, we've struggled with making enough profit to keep both of our hospitals running. It's evident. And it goes back to what I talked about at the very beginning. Our system is not set up right. You think about this with me, and here again, I'm going to take you back on a history lesson. When I was young, we had insurance, okay? It was called, you go to the doctor and you pay your bill. And you took out insurance for major medical issues so that if you had to go to the hospital, you know, you had some way to pay the bill. And generally, it was what they called an 80-20 plan, where you were responsible for 20% of the bill and the insurance company would pay for 80% of it. And you know what? That served me very well through the early part of my life. And then things began to change and the systems began to change and everything changed. Now, during all of that time, we built these tremendous hospitals. These hospitals came up and we continually added to them. We added a wing for, you know, for cancer. We added a wing for burns. We added a wing for heart issues. We had wings going on to these hospitals, one after the next, and they got into competition with each other. And suddenly, we priced ourselves out of healthcare. It became so expensive, we couldn't afford it if we had something go wrong. And somewhere along the line, the insurance companies began to start telling us what they would pay for and what they wouldn't pay for, and everything changed. And now we're in a system that says, you don't need to stay in the hospital. You need to go in and then you need to go home and rest at home because we're not going to pay for you to stay in the hospital. Now, there's a problem that I have with that as an individual and a person that's connected to public health. I know firsthand what it's like for a woman to have a child, because I am the father of five kids, and the great toll that it takes on her after being pregnant, after going in and delivering, and that is just a normal delivery, and how it affects her body and the rest that she needs to recuperate. And I mean, it's going to be more than just 24 hours, 3-4 days at minimum sometimes would be the best for that mom and for that baby to be able to come out of that and get a great start in life. And we've just gone the wrong way. I mean, it's really, truly almost time, I think, for us as a society to take a look at this and say, hey, let's go back and start again. And let's do this right, because there is a better way. And I'm not talking about socialized medicine, even though I'm about ready to enter that. You know, I'm going to be of that age where I'm going to be going into the Medicare system. And I'll be honest with you, it kind of frightens me. But on the other hand, what do we need to do to make sure that our systems work together so that we're doing prevention and that we're doing acute care and we're doing all of those things so that we don't have the problems in the future? I hope for the kids that are just, you know, my grandchildren that are little, that in their lifetimes, they will see a better healthcare system than what I had to grow up in. I really do hope that will be the case for them.
Yeah, certainly. So just to keep things moving, I think that now you've really defined what public health is and some of the challenges that are, you know, have been around for a long time and are maybe magnifying in the wrong direction. But let's talk a little bit about what public health is locally here in Cali County, because I think many of our listeners are probably Cali County residents.
Sure.
So we've been talking, you know, over several episodes about things that the health department does, and now we've talked about public health, but what do you really think that the role of the local health department is, and how does that connect with Cali County?
Yeah, our role is really summed up in the three words: prevent, promote, protect. I truly believe that, and think about what we talk about. Prevent. we take a frontline stance at preventing disease. How do we do that? Well, we do that, of course, through vaccinations, education. That's the promote part. We show them where they can get educated. We try to help them plan. The prevent part ties into so many things, the preparedness. All of those things are key with what we do. When I first got here in 2015, I set about trying to rebrand what the health department was locally. I would ask people who didn't know me, what does the health department do? Do you know who we are? And they would tell me, oh yeah, that's the place where, you know, the poor moms go to get WIC, or, you know, that was pretty much, or when the kids were little, we had to take them for vaccinations. And I'm like, that's all? That's all you see us as? You know, so I knew that we had a monumental task ahead of us to educate people as to what it is we do. And that resonates even now today. That's been part of what we do. You know, that's why every time we run an ad, we talk about just one more way we work hard to help you stay well. That is so much, it sums up what public health in this community is about. And I try to put, you know, a staff around me, including you and everybody else that works here, that has that dedication, that they realize, you know, this is not just a job, it's kind of a calling, because we have so many days when we're frustrated, people don't get it, they don't understand. And I wonder, is the message getting through? And then it's like the good Lord hears that question, and the next day I get a card in the mail. It's a thank you from somebody about, you know, a service we provided or a kindness we showed them. And it does make me say, yeah, okay, they are getting it. And it gives us that encouragement to battle it on one more day. Because every day something new could happen. Every day an emergency can pop up. We don't know from Monday to Friday really what's going to happen. And we just have to be on guard and sentinel all the time to make sure that we're there and that we're not silent about it either. That we step forward when we need to, even when it's inconvenient or people don't want to hear it, you know, that we're not cowards, that we actually believe what it is that we're doing, and we go forward into the community to spread that that word and to educate people so that they can stay well.
Awesome. So just drawing off of some of the experience that you shared with us earlier, how do you think that differs from public health at like the state level where you were before?
State level, we were at 30,000 feet all the time. In other words, we were looking down at everything. It was strategy, policy, trying to procure big funding amounts if possible. And then I hate to say it, almost kind of dictating to the local health departments on this is what you need to do and this is how you should do it. I will never regret the days that I spent working at the state level and the time that I've spent interacting with even public health at the federal level through the CDC and other agencies. But what I truly believe is the real part of public health is the service delivery area, and that is what we do at the local level. What's made me a better public health officer and a better administrator here locally has been the experiences I brought with me, that you could never pay for. There's no college course you could take that will teach you those experiences. But when it comes down to what truthfully is public health, it is what we do. It's the nurses working with the babies. It's the home visitors going out working with moms. It's, you know,
her environmental specialist.
My environmental health specialist. The way he goes out and works with people. It's how Daniel engages with the community through written communication. It's how you work with the school administrators and the nurses elsewhere, you know, at the long-term care facilities, letting them know what we know and keeping everybody informed. It's how our office assistants work with the clients. It's how we bring somebody in now that speaks fluent, you know, Spanish and other dialects so that we can communicate with people. That's the connectivity of what we do and how we deliver those services. We could not function without what these people do every day. I am blessed in that I get to guide the ship and I get to steer it. But man, if I didn't have all these people doing these jobs, what I know and everything else would matter not. So that's really where it comes down to.
Well, you make people really want to work hard for you. So
sometimes
okay.
I roll my eyes.
Works out all right. So just a few more things just to kind of wrap up, because it looks like we're getting close on time. But one of the things that I hear about public health is that you can't measure it. You can't measure prevention. You can't do it. How are you going to measure something that didn't happen?
That's exactly right. And that has been one of the most difficult challenges of being in this profession. You know, when we take a look at an epidemic, okay, that's ongoing, and we get a vaccine, and we can come in and we can deliver it, and we can see the epidemic end, we can point to that and say, our intervention did that. But it's very difficult for us to sit there and say, we're going to do something to prevent something. And I'll never forget when I was working at KDHE, and I had to go over to the State House, and I'm under the dome, and I'm addressing some of our a local legislator. It was about a specific bill that we wanted to have passed that was going to work to strengthen lead poisoning prevention laws. The gentleman looked at me and said, "Mr. Langer, where are the bodies?" And I looked at him and I said, "Senator, would you repeat that? Is where are the bodies?" And I'm like, "There are no bodies because of the work that we're doing." I says, "We trust in the science." And what is science? Well, the science is that we have the hypothesis. We test the hypothesis. We see if our intervention is going to be successful or if it will fail. And if it fails, we try again. And it's that constant feedback loop that we have working with people, working with illnesses that we try to prevent. That's what it is. Like I say, sometimes it's a losing battle. People don't believe you. But it doesn't mean that it's not true or that it doesn't exist, a condition doesn't exist. And so that's when it does. It tests your mettle, whether or not you have the fortitude to be able to stay focused on what you need to get accomplished and that you can provide enough compelling evidence along the way to show people that what you're doing is a best practice or it will make a difference. We had that actually happen in the county when I first got here, and I hope we have enough time. And this specific thing was, we were looking at the number of teen pregnancies, which we thought were at-risk pregnancies, because a young mom, a teenager, no support system, what have you, you know, sometimes they could be engaged in other risky behaviors. They comprised a certain number of live births in the county every year. We could not handle, you know, smoking, drinking, and everything to the entire population. It's just too immense of a job. But we were able to focus on one select group, and that was a group of about 60 to maybe 75, 80 teen births that would occur every single year. And
in Cowley County?
In Cowley County. Yeah, just here. And we set about focusing on them, trying to reach out to them, talking to teens in particular about taking preventative action to not become pregnant, you know, to not smoke, to not drink, all of those things. And we couldn't tell if what we were doing made a difference, because the first year we didn't see any change in the numbers. Second year we didn't see any change in the numbers. But 5 and 6 years down the road, the numbers dropped, and we see it now, so that we know what we've been doing. Okay, again, it's steering a big ship, has made a difference, and it's made the number of teen births decline, the complications associated with those births decline, and we have a healthier population because of that. So sometimes you can see the results, but they're all in the rearview mirror. You've got to go down the road 5, 10 years before you see what really happens.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love hearing that example. It's really cool to see that. I mean, really, 5 years isn't that long.
It's not, but it seems like it at the time.
It is when you're looking for the outcome, but
we
it's
want
not.
It to happen so badly. You know, we work really hard because we know it's an issue, and it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time.
Yeah, absolutely. So one last question just to really wrap us up, but I've mentioned a few times I'm a little bit younger than you. I'm, of course, newer to public health, but what advice or words would you have for newcomers to public health or even young people looking to go into public health?
Don't be discouraged. It's a job that you can love and hate simultaneously. I hate it sometimes when I can't make things happen quickly enough. But I love the fact that I get to work with really good people, that I get to be connected to the community in a way that is meaningful. And if you embrace this and you choose this as a career path, if you are the type of person that says, in my lifetime, I want to know that I made a difference, then public health is where you need to be.
Oh, well, thank you for answering my questions today and for the community and anybody else who's listening. Tom knows his stuff. He really does. He doesn't get to talk much on the podcast, so we thought that it would be awesome to take the advice of our listeners and let you hear a little bit from him. But overall, we're happy to work for him, and we think that we're moving in the right direction. So that's what we have for everybody today. We look forward to talking with you guys soon. We have a few things that we're talking about doing here before too long. We're hoping to get Cali College in here to talk about student health and wellness. We're going to talk about our home visiting program, and then maybe even give you guys an update on the new RSV vaccines that we talked about recently. So
it's right around the corner. I mean, it's, yeah, hard to believe. Flu season is just a few weeks away. Hopefully we can all stay well. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks
absolutely.
For asking me these questions. I've enjoyed this.
Thank you, everybody. And until we speak again, make sure to go ahead and stay well.
Stay well, everybody. Thank you for joining us for this edition of For the Health of It, Cali County. We hope you found it useful and that you'll tell your friends and give us a listen again during future episodes. As always, we end today's segment by replaying a recent Public Health Minute, which is a weekly radio message focused on keeping you healthy. So, until next time, stay well, everyone. Disaster can strike at any time, and that's why it's so important for everyone to ask themselves these questions and to figure out the answers before an emergency happens. What would you do if a tornado hit your town? Would you have a place to shelter? Do you have an evacuation route? How would you stay informed? And does your home have enough supplies to last through a power outage? What's your plan for getting in contact with your family if an emergency happens? September is National Preparedness Month, and all month long your local health department will be focusing on the steps you and your family can take to prepare for disaster. So join us on social media and keep an eye out for KS Prepared hashtags. Remember that preparedness starts with you taking action. So be proactive and get started today by visiting ready.gov or giving the health department a call to learn more. Helping you prepare for disasters is just one more way the health department works hard every day to help you stay well.